Today I want to talk to you about God's glory and your purpose. You see, God is invisible. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. He is a spirit. The word glory is making the invisible attributes of God visible. The air is thick with his presence. He is everywhere. The problem is the human eye can't see him. So that he must then make himself visible. The process by which the invisible reality of God comes across in living color is called glory. When you use the word glory, glory to God, he is glorious, you are saying that God has made himself visible in such a way he can now be seen. In fact, if you were to look for a one-word synonym for God, it would be the word glory. If you didn't want to use the word, but you needed a summary term, the word you would want is glory, because the word glory applies to all the parts that make him him. In other words, he is not only omnipotent, he is gloriously omnipotent. He is not only omniscient, he's gloriously omniscient. He is not only gracious, he is gloriously gracious. In other words, whatever he is gloriously that. That is, he wants it to be visualized. He wants it to be seen. The word glory came from a word that meant weighty or heavy. You remember growing up in the 60s and we'd say, that dude is heavy. We meant he was deep. He was thick. When God is called glorious, it is referring to the fact that he is the weightiest, heaviest, deepest being in the universe. To glorify God or to speak of God's glory means that God has now placed himself on a billboard to be seen. He's gone public. It means he has been visualized, and unlike any other being, the word glory applies to God because everybody else has ascribed glory. God has intrinsic glory. You honor a policeman, he puts on a blue suit, he has on a badge. He gets glory. Yes, sir. Yes, officer. We recognize him because that uniform and that badge ascribes glory to him. Take off the badge, put him in an ordinary suit. He's another ordinary man. When the judge puts on the robe, we ascribe glory to him. Take off the robe, he's another man. God not only is ascribed glory, but even when you don't ascribe him glory, it doesn't diminish his glory, because he is glorious because he's glorious. In other words, water is wet because that's the way water is. You can't talk about water without talking about wetness, because wetness is intrinsic to the nature of water. You can't talk about sky without talking about blue, because blue is intrinsic to the nature of sky. You can't talk about sun without talking about hot, because hot is intrinsic to the nature of sun. So whether you don't like the sun is hot, don't like the water is wet, don't like the sky is blue, is irrelevant. Because it's intrinsic to what it is. God is glorious intrinsically. When you recognize it, he's glorious. When you don't recognize it, he's glorious. When you like it, he's glorious. When you don't like it, he's glorious, because that's just who he is. God's glory is beyond human comprehension. It is beyond what you can conceive of. Whatever you think about God, he is much more than that. I mean, let's put it another way. God's glory is greater than the sum total of his creation. And look at what he's created. He's not only created the earth. Earth is just a little pea in the universe. I mean, he's created the universe, and he is greater than the sum total of all of his creation. So it is beyond your wildest dreams. Now, the problem is that everything created recognizes God's glory except two. One, Satan and his angels. Two, men, mankind. The scripture was read in your hearing today from Romans chapter 11. And we read these words, verse 36, from him, through him, to him are all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. Amen mean, that's it. We don't have to add to that because there's nothing more to add to that. I mean, there is nothing left here, folks. From him, through him, to him are most things. Thank you. Don't believe it because the preacher says it. Make sure it's in the Bible. All things, to him be glory forever. He not only wants glory in everything, he wants glory forever. Now, let me read again a verse I gave you when we started this. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Isaiah 43, verse 7. You got to get this. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed, even whom I made, whom I created for my glory. Now, when we started off with this premise, this is not about you. The reason why more of us don't know our purpose is because it's about us. It's not about you. I have created you for my glory. I have created you to be the television set to show the picture of the invisible waves that are flowing through the air. I created you to be my color picture. You're only created to reflect the programming that I have determined that my waves want to send. Now, the problem is most of us are anthropomorphic, not theocentric. Throw that at work tomorrow. Yeah, most of us are anthropomorphic, not theocentric. Anthropomorphic simply means to be man-centered. We are existentialist. An existentialist is a person or a philosophy that emphasizes existence here and now. An existentialist has one fundamental question: what's in it for me? Virtually everybody you know is an existentialist. What's in this for me? God wants you to know that's his question, not yours. Because you and I were created for what? His glory. God wants to know what's in this for me. He wants to know how what he has done for you will come back to him. Most folk come to church because they want to be blessed. They want, what's in this for me? What you going to do for me? What you going to do for me? God says, we got this backwards. I created you for my glory. You want the TV and you want to control the programming. God says, this is my show. My party, because from me, through me, and to me are all things. God is after the visible demonstration of who he is, glory. If you want to go into an occupation that's lucrative today, go into plastic surgery. Because as folk get older and their glory begins to fade. When wrinkles begin to take over, when hair begins to gray, when fat won't come off very quickly. They want something that is going to give them back their glory. God does not need plastic surgery.
Yes.
Because his glory cannot fade.
Yes.
Whatever he is that eternally and gloriously forever. I created you for my glory. I created you for me. My first concern is what you are doing to let it be seen who I am. That's my concern. Why should I give you your purpose when there's a major question mark on the floor? And that is, who gonna benefit from this? God's glory, watch this now, is God's passion. If you were to ask God, God, what's on your mind now? My glory. What you thinking about all day? My glory. What you going to do tomorrow? Glorify myself. What gets your juices flowing? Being glorified. Or to put it in everyday language, God is stuck on himself. Well, then it's okay to be stuck on yourself? For him it is. Not for you. The reason why is because your glory on your best day fades. No matter how rich you are, there'll be somebody richer. No matter how pretty you are, there'll be somebody prettier. No matter how strong you are, there'll be somebody stronger. No matter how intellectual you are, there'll be somebody smarter. In other words, you cannot have all glory because you don't have all glory. God can be stuck on himself because if he were to look for somebody else greater than him to be stuck on, he'd still wind up with him. Because there's no place for him to go but him. So if God is seeking the highest glory, God must be seeking his own. And that's why pride is so evil, because it's making yourself more than you ought to make yourself. The glory of God then is the chief end of all things. Now watch this. And is the indicator of whether you've been touched by him. You will always know if somebody has a heart for God because they are increasingly seeking his glory. In fact, the key verse on spiritual growth, or one of the key verses, is 2 Peter 3:18, which says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever. If you are growing, he's getting more glory, not less glory from your life. If you are seeking more glory and he is getting less glory, you are spiritually going the wrong way. Your growth will always be demonstrated in an increased passion for his name, his glory, his recognition. So consuming is this issue that I want you to turn your Bibles to a verse you all know, but I want you to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So that we get what we're talking about straight. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You got to be kidding me. He says, down to your eating and drinking. Now, that's like a regular activity, 10 times a day. He says, even down to your ordinary stuff, I want my glory to be part of this. So why do you say grace? Because mama taught you? No, you say grace because I recognize this food is borrowed from a provision you gave. I give you glory. Glory you must look at as wearing a pair of glasses through which colors everything you look at. Whatever you do, even down to eating steak and potatoes, breakfast, lunch and dinner, snacks. He says, I want it all for my glory. Don't give me that Sunday morning stuff. Don't give me that little worship service and think you done done your glory thing for the week. Whatever you do. In other words, God wants the consuming passion of our lives to be his glory. Now, this answers every question. You have to ask about everything. How will this glorify God? That's the question. And that can mess up your day. How will this bring glory to God? God is after displaying who he is. Psalm 19 says, the heavens and earth declare the glory of God. God says, you're not to look at a nice day and say, nice day. The nice day is to bring you back to me. Boy, look at the day God hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. He said, no. Don't look and say, this is pretty country that you haven't finished a sentence. This is pretty country God hath made. He says, I didn't just put this out here to put this out here. I put this out here so that you could get a picture of the invisible God and how awesome he is. He says, every day you wake up, nature is preaching a sermon. People see when it rains outside, oh, I think I'm going to stay in today. It's raining. God says, excuse me? Let me tell you what this rain going to do for you. You eating because I let it rain. You have water because I let it rain. Because I let it rain, you ought to be more excited to worship. But because we are anthropomorphic. Yeah. We're thinking about, I'm going to get wet. Yeah. We are us-centered, not him-centered. That little thing, whenever you are you-centered and not God-centered, I hate to put it this way, but the scripture put it this way, you are in sin. Yeah. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. So what is sin? Sin is falling short of glorify, failing to glorify God. Romans 18 says that they did not give him glory. Sin. You don't have to be out there and be robbing a bank or in a whole bunch of mess to be a sinner. All you have to do is take the glory that belongs alone to him. And you are a cosmic thief. Men have measured themselves against the wrong standard. We think because we're better than Joe, we're okay. God says, I'm measuring you by my glory. Yeah. Little boy came to his father and said, Dad, I'm 8 feet tall. He said, you're not 8 feet tall. He says, yes, I am, Dad. I'm 8 feet tall. He says, the ruler says, I'm 8 feet tall. He says, show me the ruler. It was a 6-inch ruler. Yeah. If you use the wrong standard, you'll come up with the wrong conclusion. You'll think you're something that you're not. The Bible says all have sinned. And what makes sin sin is that men don't want to give God the glory. The recognition, the visible recognition that he demands and that he deserves. God's glory is everywhere. And so awesome is this glory thing. The book of Revelation chapter 21, 23, you don't have to turn there, but the book of Revelation 21, 23 says, when we get to heaven, there will be no need of the sun, nor will you need the moon, for the glory of the Lord will light the place. So you're talking about something that's spectacular. If you don't need the sun, this has got to be a monster. God will simply radiate his character. And the Bible says, and there will be no night there. For the place will be consumed with the glory of God. Our problem today is that we are not consumed with the glory of God. We give it a nod. We give it a song. We'll listen to a sermon, but it is not the consuming presence that God demands. God told Moses, Moses said, show me your glory. He said, I want to see who you are. God said, well, now I can't let you see who I am, because no man can look at me and live. So I'm going to place you in the cleft of the rock, and you're going to see my hinder parts after I pass by. After I pass by, I'm going to let you see the exhaust fumes. Because if you saw me, you would not be able to live. It would be like being in a nuclear power plant. You would just disintegrate. That's why when you go to heaven, you're going to have a new body. You got to have a body that can contain glory. That's why it's called the glorified body. It's a glorified body that can handle all that radiation. But Moses said something else. He said, now listen. Listen, God, before I go and deal with this people, I want to know, are you going with me? Because if you don't go with me, I'm not going. Yes. That's not how most of us would have put it. Yes. Most of us would have said, God, I'm going here. Go with me. This is where I'm going. This is my purpose. This is my agenda. These are my goals. These are my plans. Join me. I need a co-pilot. This is where I'm going, God. I need you to get there. Moses said, no, no, no. No, no, no. God, tell me where you're going, because that's where I'm going. I don't want you to go with me. I want to go with you. It's a whole different mindset. We're wanting God to bless our agendas. God is saying, no. Backwards Christian soldiers. I want to bless my agenda. Now, what agenda are you on? God is passionately consumed with his glory. And he says, here it is, he will share his glory with no man. Now, here's the clinker. If you are not passionately pursuing the glory of God, he's not hanging out with you. Because he won't share his glory. His glory is only for him. What he has invited you to do, and the reason he saved you, the reason he elected you, the reason he predestined you, if you're here today and you're a child of God, the reason he did it would be that there would be a community of people called the church who would live for his glory only. The problems we are facing is because so many of us are not consumed with his glory. Which means he backs up. To ascribe glory to him who is intrinsically so is to give credit. It's to give him recognition. Jesus says in John 17:4, we glorify him when we do what he tells us to do. God is glorified in our obedience. Not our evaluation. Now I want to show you something. John 12. St. John chapter 12. It's going to be a little tricky. St. John chapter 12. Verse 27 and 28. Now my soul has become troubled. And what I say, Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. I don't know if you caught what just happened there. My soul has become troubled. I got to get ready to go down here with these ungodly men and they're going to crucify me. I'm troubled. Father, save me from this hour. I don't want to go through this. But for this purpose, remember we're talking about purpose, God's glory and your purpose. For this purpose, you set me here for this. Therefore, even though I don't want it, even though I'd rather not go through it, even though I want you to get me out of it, glorify thy name. Did you hear that? One of the ways God will test whether you're in this for you or in this for him is by allowing the day of trouble. The day when you don't want it to be going this way. You don't want it to be working out this way. You don't want it to be going down this channel. The question then is, anybody will say, God be glorified, you gave me $1 million. God be glorified, you gave me a new house. God be glorified, you gave me new clothes. But what happens if the house falls through? What happens if the person you thought was going to be your mate falls through? What happens when you don't get the raise? God wants to know, are you in this for you or are you in this for my glory? Is it about me or is it about you? And the tragedy is most of us, most of the time, are in this for us. God says, I didn't save you to take you to heaven. I saved you so that earth would have a television screen of the glory of God. That's why Job had to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even though it's not going well right now, even though I'm still single, even though I'm in a marriage I don't prefer, but I don't have grounds for a divorce, God, somehow, I'm going to seek to glorify you in this. Now, once you make that shift, you have his undivided attention. Once you make that shift, once it's no longer negotiable, once it's no longer as long as he's doing what I want to, once you make, because see, he allows trouble to see why you in this. Once you make the shift, you know, you go by stores, they have mannequins, another word for them are dummies. They're dummies. The job of the dummy is to magnify the fashion of the store. They put clothing on the dummy. And the dummy is there to be an attraction, allure the customer into the store. They are to look at the clothes on the dummy and be drawn into the store. The dummy is an advertisement of the attire for the purpose of drawing other people into the store. The clothes on the dummy didn't come from the dummy. Dummy. The clothes on the dummy came from the owner of the store. And the owner of the store put clothes on the dummy so that folk outside will be attracted to come inside by how the dummy looks. Need I say more? What God wants to do is dress you up. He's given you a new nature. He's given you a new life. He wants to dress you up. And he's saying, listen, dummy. I want you to attract people to me. Not only when times are going good, but when times are going bad. Your job is to make me look good. That's what he's after. But I do have some good news. If you make this switch, it's a little switch because it's only involving one thing. It's a whopping switch because it involves everything. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do all to the glory of God. It's a whopping switch. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. He says, 2 Corinthians 3. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. But we, with unveiled face, as looking into a mirror, are being transformed into his image, glory to more glory, as to the Lord the Spirit. Once you make this decision, this one decision, but that affects everything. He says you will be looking into the mirror of transformation. You've been wanting to be transformed. You've been wanting to change habits, change personalities. You've spent money to do it. You've gone to professionals to do it. And you still aren't changing. Wrong mirror. He says, once you look into the mirror of his glory, you will discover his ability to change you, to transform you. The Bible says when Moses went up into the presence of God, he went up there for 7 days, wound up staying 40 days. He went up there and stayed 40 days. And it says, when he came from there, there was a glow around his head. Why? Because the glory had rubbed off on him. It says he made his way down the mountain. And as he made his way from the presence of God to where the people are, it says the glory faded. Because people can take God's glory from you. So when he left God's presence, he lost God's glory. The shine was no longer there. But God says in the new covenant, the New Testament, he says, the glory is on the inside. And I'm going to transform you from the inside out. I am going to let my presence radiate inside of you so there will be a glow about you. And the glow won't have anything to do with your circumstances. The glow won't have anything to do with your situation. Because you are staring at my glory, I'm going to let my glory stare back at you. And when my glory stares back at you, you will be changed. Transformed. Totally changed. Because you are consumed with his glory. What did John say? John said, he must increase and I must decrease. I got to get less so I can create room for him to have more. Most people spend their time becoming more so that there's less of him. Less of his power, less of his presence, less of his victory, less of his strength, less of his glory. So he has that much room. So we're left to ourselves. Let me show you somebody in the Bible who ran smack dab into the glory of God, Isaiah 6. And this directly relates to your purpose. In the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. Now that's a whole sermon right there. That's a bad day. Watch this. When God lets something in your life die, it's because he's trying to get your attention. It's a bad day. In the year the king died, the thing that was running the show, the ruler, when in the day the ruler died, Isaiah saw the Lord. What did he see? He goes into the temple. He sees him high and lifted up with his train robe filling the temple. Oh, that's nasty. You've seen a bride come down the central aisle and her train trailing behind her. And what do? We all stand up. Yeah. The bride is into the room in white and she is glorious in how she looks. And we are, woo, wow, beautiful. Oh, wow. She has spent time in the back making herself glorious. And her train fills a few yards of the aisle. But Isaiah said, on a bad day, when he went to look for God's glory, that he saw the glorious robe of God and there was no room to stand in the sanctuary because you would have been standing on the train of his robe. His robe filled the, in other words, his glory was all over the place. And he says, not only was his glory all over the place, but the angels were singing. And they were singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of his glory. In other words, there is nowhere you can go on the planet where you run can't run into God. You run into God every place you go, everything you do, every thought you're thinking says you can. He is unescapable. You are trapped. Yeah. And don't step on his robe, and his robe is everywhere. He says, listen, the foundation shook. Watch this now. When he saw the glory of the Lord, stuff started shaking. Nothing shaking in your life? Maybe you're standing on the robe. You're not recognizing the glory. What would you think about a person who stepped out while a woman was walking down the aisle and stepped on the train? You say, how disrespectful. That man doesn't belong here. He's disrespecting her glory. God says, respect my glory. He was high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And he said, verse 5, uh-oh, woe is me. Woe is me. Because when you see God's glory, you will always see your sin. Because remember, now you're not measuring against your neighbor, you're measuring against him. And he saw God's glory, he said, uh-oh, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among the people. He says, but when I confess my sin, because I saw his glory, he sent the angel down and the angel cleansed me. So I got cleaned up in the presence of his glory. Did you know God's glory will clean you up? See, that's why we want to stay away from God's glory, because once we get close to it, the light of it exposes us. And we don't want to be exposed. He touched my mouth, verse 7. He said, this has touched your lips and your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is forgiven. And here's what I want to get to as we close. Verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord say. Then I heard the voice of the Lord say. Can I talk about then? Somebody say then. Amen. Then when? After he saw God's glory. When he saw God's glory, he heard God's voice.
Yes.
He didn't hear God's voice till he sought God's glory. But when he saw God's glory, he heard God's voice, and he says, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us, the Trinity? Then I said, here am I, send me. He didn't find his purpose till he saw the glory. He didn't hear his voice till he saw the glory. Many of us are praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? God is saying, get off my robe. Soon as you stop disrespecting my glory and start honoring my glory, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. But I'm not going to tell you what I want you to do with your life, tell you why I have you here, and you stepping on my robe. Respect my glory, and you'll hear my voice. If you want to know your purpose, live for his glory, and he'd love to tell you what it is. But he's not going to show you your purpose if you don't respect his presence. And let me tell you one other benefit. You'll be transformed. You'll hear his voice telling you what he wants you to do. And here's the beautiful thing. Whatever he wants you to do, he takes responsibility for providing for it to be done. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's glory. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. You won't have to break your neck to get it. You won't have to kill yourself to get it. God will flow it to you, because after all, he's going to get the glory out of it. And it's what he wants you to do. So he's going to pick up the tab. He's going to pick up the tab. We all have a decision to make. For whose glory will you live? Will you live for your name, your reputation, your recognition, your exaltation, your 15 minutes in front of the camera? If that's what you want to live for, go ahead. But you just need to know you're stepping on the king's robe, because this is his show. You were created for his glory. He was not created for you. And he doesn't want a Sunday morning 2-hour thing to think you've done your job. Whatever you do in word or deed, that's all day, every day. He wants you to wake up and go to bed with him in mind. But he says, if you do, I'll transform you. I'll let you know what I got you here for. And I'll provide for whatever that is. Yeah. That seems like a good trade to me. Most men have done this with a lady. They've walked them out on a full moon lit night. pointed to the moon. There's something romantic about a full moon against the backdrop of a dark sky. But I know you remember science. That moon has no light. There's no light on the moon. Moon is dark 24/7. You're looking at a reflection of the sun. The sun reflects off of the moon. So that beautiful moon is actually the work of the sun, because the moon has no light. Now, on other days, you'll see half moon. You only see half light. On another day, you got a quarter moon. You just see that little side shaping up here. You're not giving you all the light. How come some days you get a full moon? Some days you get a half moon. Some days you get a quarter moon. How come you don't always get the full moon? Because whenever you see less than the full moon, it means the earth is in the way. The earth has gotten between a portion of the moon and the sun. The sun is there to light the whole moon, but the spin and rotation of the earth around the sun gets in the way and blocks the full light of the sun reflecting off the moon. The earth gets in the way. What are you allowing to get in the way of God's glory giving you a full life, a full moon, a full hope, a full direction, full power, full joy, full success? What are you allowing in the world to only let you see a little bit of God's glory? It's all about him. And until you make it all about him, you won't know your purpose. Amen. You'll just exist. Amen. Amen. And then you'll die. And then you'll stand before him if you're a Christian. And he said, I had so much to show you. I had so much to do through you. I had so much that I wanted to accomplish around you. But I couldn't get your undivided attention. And every time I looked up, you were standing on my robe. You were disrespecting me. I don't know of a better day than today than to give him the glory due his name.